Pulse 2 weather
with bradfordcollege.ac.uk. Are you ready to study a degree on your doorstep? Bradford College is ready for you.
All right, expect heavy rain with potential thunderstorms late this evening. They'll carry on until the early hours of the morning, and tomorrow the rain will continue. But we'll have some sunny spells in the afternoon with highs reaching up to 20 degrees, so it'll be hot and it'll be muggy and wet. Stick with us. Up next is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live on Pulse 2 Studios, up in the Pulse 2 Towers, that is. In the studio, we do have Aaron Bell, we also have Elliot Minchella, but we do not have the Reggae Warrior. Ross Peltier is doing his duty this evening, looking after the kids, and he's handing out prizes. But we've finally got Elliot back.
Yeah, somebody.
What do you mean, man?
I've been busy. I've been very busy.
Been told moved into a new house, so you've been choosing new furniture, new carpet, wallpaper.
Yeah, it's absolutely wiped me out.
DIY yourself?
Yeah, but not very well. I've been recruiting all the lads. Half of the team's helped me put loads of stuff up. So.
Now, in theory, because a lot of them should be part-time players, in theory, they should have some sort of skill set behind them.
Yeah, well, there's not many.
Have you not chosen the right one? So You've gone to a carpenter to get your carpets laid and...
No. Well, they put us carpets in for us, the people we bought it from. But, so Pickers and Keezy, they really helped me a lot.
But did they help? Because I know if the boys have got no skills, they just get under your feet.
No. Well, I'm the one with no skills, so I'm looking out for help at all times.
I was working as an accountant.
Yeah, so I'm not very hands-on whatsoever, so any help has been much appreciated. But, yeah, them two have helped me out a lot.
Well, it's good that you got the boys who will look after you. Okay, we've got a busy show this evening. In the second segment of the show, we're going to be talking rugby league. These guys are going to pull a topic of choice that they're going to discuss, and then we'll discuss it openly. Third segment's always about you guys. And the fourth and final segment, we'll be looking ahead to the upcoming games this weekend and what an awesome round we've got. We're 2 weeks off the Challenge Cup, so that's starting to warm up also. But first is first, let's catch up with these two on the far right, just outside of camera. If you're watching on social media, is Aaron Bauer. He's trying to keep a low profile because he's hurt his ankle. He's injured at the moment. So one thing that he keeps saying is, I don't know how you guys can put up with. But let's talk about rugby league. First and foremost, let's talk about that sensational win for the Bradford Bulls over in Toulouse. Tell us all about it, Minnie. It was the hottest game on the planet ever.
Yeah, hottest game I've ever been involved in. 38 degrees, I think it was, at kick off at 8 o'clock at night. So... Man, honestly, it was just ridiculous. We played it in four quarters. We had four water breaks.
No, which is fair enough, eh?
Yeah.
Is there a threshold that they say if the game is over 28 degrees or 26?
Just common sense.
Yeah, to be fair, the referee really, he was just sound. He understood that it was tough. It was tough for him, you know what I mean? It was just common sense for me. And I thought that fair play to the RFL and the ref for doing that. Like, that was just the right thing to do. And common sense finally prevailed.
Finally. You don't get that often, players talking about common sense and referees. But you got one right here, so you've lost your reputation anyway.
All
the rest of the championship players will be looking down their noses at you because you're looking after
referees. Credit where credit's due.
Okay. Let's not labour that point. Come on, this is a fan show. What a performance, though. Come out of the guns, firing out a million miles an hour. How good were your pack?
Oh, awesome, yeah. There's two props outstanding and, was right edge as well. They'd got through a lot of work getting it there, like spot men. So, everyone had a dig and that's all you can ask for. And, we enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong, at 10 o'clock when we finished, we all certainly enjoyed the French culture, put it that way. But no, what a win. And what got me as well, there were over 500 Bradford fans who went out there. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know what
they
like?
They saw the weather forecast. We're off to have a party. And then you guys just, you know, you just got to imagine what that's like for supporters.
Yeah.
Because obviously going away to a place like Toulouse, it is a tough place. Not many teams will go there. Yeah. You know, doesn't matter what form they're in, will go there and play well. Then you add that together with ridiculous heat that they've been basically living in for the last month and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
So if any team should have been ready for it, it should have been them. So you've got to go over, if you're a fan going over, you've got to go over with that ounce of hope in your heart, but quite a bit of trepidation, knowing that your team's going in as underdogs. But I just like the way you started the game. And, you know, to be honest, Toulouse looked like the team that were a team that was coming from a colder climate into the hotter climate.
Yeah, it was strange. We said that we had to start well, but I think what did it for us was we spent a lot of time in the sun while we were there. So Friday, we literally sat in the sun all day. We trained in it. We did what we needed to do. And then Saturday, we did the same, went for a walk. So when we came to kick off, it didn't just hit us like a ton of bricks. You know, so the way that I've been over to France before and other places, and the coaches say, stay out of the sun, sit in the shade.
In air-conditioned rooms.
Yeah, but the way John did it, and all the coaching staff said, they just said, go and live like you're in England and go and sit in the sun if you want.
Acclimatise.
Yeah, but obviously drink water, be smart. But then when it came to kickoff, it wasn't that much of a shock to the system as if you sit in the shade all day, then you go out to play and it's like, wow. But no, it didn't really affect us as much as I thought it would. It did near the end of the game, but at the start, I thought we started really well. And yeah, as middles, it was two props and hookers, whatever, and yeah, just outstanding.
Outstanding. Obviously, Key's back in the lineup a few weeks ago. That's making a big difference, also.
Yeah, he just gets us around the field. It takes the pressure off Jordan Lilley as well. He's been freed up now. He can do what he's good at rather than trying to do two jobs at once. He's just doing one job. And Key's, he just takes control, his kicking game, his running game, you know, they both complement each other really well.
And as a guy that's often had to deputise in the halves, you'll be probably running around trying to keep them both wrapped in cotton wool so they don't get hurt.
Yeah, well,
keep them both on the field so I can play my game.
Yeah, I'm enjoying playing in loose forward. I think I've done it for the last 4 or 5 weeks now, so I feel like I'm getting a bit of consistency as well. And we're in a good spot.
You're in some amazing reps at the moment. Obviously, you're playing back in that position that I think you feel is your most natural. What is a loose forward? A loose forward is someone who does a lot of attritional work, which you do. Generally, someone that's got some great ball playing ability as well, which obviously you do because you have to deputise in the halves so often, which can often sometimes be a bane. But keep it up. Keep going. Absolutely loving it. Now, look at the table. Bradford Bulls sitting at 24 points. There's three teams above you in third, fourth and fifth, all on 26 points. And York City Knights are on 28 points. Yeah. It's nothing. There's nothing in this competition. You've got Sheffield breathing down your neck at 22 points. But then there's quite a big drop to Halifax, isn't there?
Yeah.
But like the game caller was saying one weekend, the game 2 weeks ago against Halifax, that was a do or die, make or break game for the season.
Yeah. Yeah, we said that as well. We've won three on the bounce now. We beat Halifax, Widnes, and then that win in Toulouse. So we were really gathering some momentum. But that game against Halifax, that were pretty much make or break for the playoffs. It would have still been possible, but he's set us on the run now. Like I said, we're building some momentum. So, but we've got a tough game this week against Swinton. They've won two on the bounce as well, I think, and they just beat Batley at the weekend. So that's a great win. So it's going to be another tough game. They've signed some players as well recently. So
no rest for the wicked, eh?
Straight back into it. It's going to be
tough. Let me bring you in here. I'm gonna guess that you did see the Huddersfield Giants game against Salford.
Yeah.
What were your take on that?
Good. Giants were good. Darnell was sat here, wasn't he, in this seat last week.
I thought we better talk about that game because obviously we were talking about the build up to it.
He was saying that, you know, the one win away from things starting to turn around a little bit, and I thought there were some good signs there. If they'd have lost that game last week, they'd have been really getting dragged into it at the bottom. And pleasing, I think, for anyone from Huddersfield, that I think there were eight or nine academy players in the team. You know, you tie that in with, you know, there's a link with Bradford there. You know, Bradford do that really well, don't they, as well?
They do. Because all the rest of the players over there are actually ex-Bradford players.
There's a lot of ex-Bradford players there. But they've got a lot of good kids, you know, and guys who've been in the system for a while, like, you know, Michael Lawrence, Jermaine McGilvery, but then at the other end of the scale, Ollie Russell, the senior twins, Cruz, Lehman, Darnell. I think they've got a big future. If they can stay up this year, they'll be in a good place. But yeah, it was a good win. They needed that, though.
Well, they had the two polar bears come on about the 20-minute mark, didn't they? And I think for me, that's when the game changed.
They were
openly talking. I think everyone was discussing that's when the game actually did change. But I thought they were woeful beforehand. Yeah. I thought, you know, the decision to move Darnell from fullback to
centre, yeah,
centre was actually going to backfire because I don't know which of the twins, the senior twins, was at the back there.
It was Lewis,
you know, drop on the first catch. And you got to own those when it's your first, you know, someone, they're going to test you with a fullback. Yeah. But I just think it's Salford. They're missing Rob Louis, eh?
Yeah, they are. Louis is not quite at that level, is he? And you saw on the flip side, Leeds with Louis are a far better team than Leeds with Lola here. So, yeah, that's been a big move, that.
Yep, so big win, big win for Huddersfield there to get them off the bottom of the table. All right, thanks for catching up with me, boys. Look, we're going to have a look at the, coming up next, we're going to have a look at these guys' talking points for the week. Before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With Living Well, take our health quiz today and find out what's available in the Bradford district at mylivingwell.co.uk.
All right, in Cottingley in Bradford, Bradford Road is blocked in both directions and there's queuing traffic due to an accident involving a car and a bus near Bickford School. The incident is affecting Cottingley New Road to Leonard Street in Bingley, so avoid that area if possible. Denham Cloth, Halifax Road. Elsewhere, there is slow traffic on the A629 Halifax Road near Brighouse Road. And the M606 northbound, there's queuing traffic there at Junction 3 by Staygate Roundabout. Travel time there is 11 minutes. I think that's because of a big Asian community coming back from the cricket that was at. I got to say this, coming back from the New Zealand versus India test match in Manchester because New Zealand won. So. Just had to get that in. Made my day after the Maroons losing this morning. Okay, that's it from the roads. And come back with us. We'll be here. This is the Robbie Under Porsche.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron the Power Bower and Elliot Minchella. Boys, we're up to that part of the show where you guys get to talk about any subject of your choice. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, why not?
All right, Aaron, we're going to kick it off with Aaron. He's got 30 seconds to spit lyrical about a subject of his talk, choice in and around the sport of rugby league. So 3, 2, 1, let's fly.
Well, we're thinking about Championship Grand Final, obviously. It's come out and Bulls are in the playoff mix, aren't they? So it's topical. It's been announced that Championship Grand Final is going to be played at whoever finishes highest. So it's not going to be like a Grand Final at a neutral venue like Super League Grand Final. It's going to be more than likely at Toronto. I'm not quite sure about it. I think, you know, those old school Championship Grand Finals used to be great. You get a lot of fans at a stadium like Headingley and something like that. I'm not really feeling the whole home advantage for one team in a final. I think a final's got to be played at a neutral venue by rights. I'm pretty disappointed that it's going to be. I know the clubs tried to argue about it today at some sort of meeting, but the RFL put the foot down and said, yeah, whoever finishes top in the playoffs or whoever's the highest ranked out of the two teams in the final are going to get home advantage, which I think is a bit disappointing, really.
Well, I think the RFL's position on it is that we said this was the way it was going to be, so we've got to follow it through. I think it's a valid argument. Let's turn to the player, the guy that's actually this could have an impact on. What do you think about that point, Elliot?
I can see both sides of the argument. I like Aaron's idea of it being at a neutral ground. It makes it that little bit more special for me, going to somewhere that you don't play during the regular season. So a Headingley or a Warrington or, you know, somewhere.
Headingley now would be awesome.
Headingley now would be incredible, yeah.
So somewhere like that, no one's played there all year in the Championship. I like that idea. But then also I can understand, it, you know, if you're part of that Toronto team, for example, and you're top of the league and you're thinking, well, what's our reward for finishing top? Well, yeah. That they, if they get to the final, then I see the argument to say they get the home advantage. But I don't know.
Well, the way the system works, it isn't about finishing top of the pile. So why should you get rewarded? It's about finishing the top, being the best team when it comes to the end of the playoffs. That's what it's about.
But I'm just looking at the league here. They're 10 points clear of second, and they must get rewarded for that. For me,
I think that's fair.
If I were in that team, and I'd be saying, well, what's our reward for finishing? There's just 7 games to go and they're already 10 clear of York, who are second. They've got to get rewarded for that, haven't they?
Well, let's talk about the Super League then. There's no reward there.
But then I don't agree with that.
Well, there is now in the top five, isn't there? That's the reward, that the playoffs
off,
now. You
they,
get
yeah.
the week off, you get the second bite of the cherry
yeah.
if you lose. So that's the reward.
So why can't you replicate
it? Toronto
the, it's replicated
they do.
In the championship.
They do. It's the same playoff system.
Well, look, okay.
I get what
well,
you're
let's look at it from a different angle then. And it's a great talking point. We're on it now.
Yeah, good though.
How underwhelming was the final last year with Toronto and London. How underwhelming was it?
Yeah, well, yeah. the quality of the game wasn't...
The quality of the game, but watching the games in Toronto, they're underwhelming.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it looks like it's just a park field.
I get Whereas, the feeling, I get the fear from the RFL that, you know, it's pretty short odds the final will be Toronto v to lose. And having that at Headingley or Warrington, there's going to be nobody there, yeah. is there? I get that fear.
That is,
but at the same time...
very relevant.
Yeah, like, yeah, of course.
Just say, like, we're just going to open up the gates.
But a case in point now is that, like, I think Lee go to Toronto last weekend of the season.
Yeah.
And they could then end up going there in the playoffs, and then they could then end up going there in the final.
Yep.
So they go, like, three times in 6 weeks or something like that, which... From a welfare kind of thing.
Well,
and money that Lee would have to...
Yeah, forget the welfare kind of thing. I know everyone blows up if you stop thinking about welfare and players travelling and stuff like that, but equally at the end
but
of the day...
But three trips in 6 weeks probably isn't all that fair, is it? You know, what does it do for your training week and it...
Earn the right.
Yeah.
Play better. Let it be played at Lee Sports Village. I guess that's the argument. Mm. Do better.
Yeah, but if Toronto finish top, so they're not going to be away once, are they, in the playoffs?
Say that again?
Toronto won't be away once in the playoffs now.
And that's, I guess, is that's the
that's
their reward, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't know.
I like the idea of it. Look, I'm a traditionalist.
I just remember those big grand finals.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Big grand finals. You go to a bigger stadium. You get to enjoy it.
Yeah,
and it becomes a special day as a player, equally as a. I don't know if the Bulls were finished top of the table, I'd rather go down to Odsall and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
As a fan, I got to admit, that's looking at it all wrong. Am I looking at it all wrong? I don't know, but that's the fan in me, I guess. That's the fan in me, and I guess it's only fair to the Toronto fans as well, the fan base that they're building there, that they get that second shot at the... But they failed last year, so...
Yeah, they did.
They got to get the opportunity to sort of get promoted in the into the Super League, if they're good enough. You know, there's still a couple of games they've got to get through if they're going to do that. Anyway, okay. All right, well, that's a great talking point. Maybe the RFL will be reviewing how that works in
will.
The future.
They will, yeah. I think they committed, didn't they, to doing it this year. Obviously out of fear of Toronto and Toulouse being the best two teams, which Toronto have obviously been the best. Toulouse are in that pack, aren't they? I don't think Toulouse are quite as clear as some people thought they'd be. A few teams have beaten them at home, haven't they, as well?
I think
Widnes might have won there as well earlier
in
the year.
Someone hasn't they?
So there's not quite that air of invincibility there. So I think everyone else will have seen what Bradford did at the weekend and thought, you know, York, Featherstone, Lee, Bradford will all fancy it now. They'll all fancy getting to that final if they're in that five, definitely.
Yeah, you never want to show your hand, show that little bit of weakness, do you?
Yeah.
I think anyone would. What Toronto did last year, in the sense of they were exactly like this at this stage last year,
yeah.
And then they fell short in the one game, albeit only by a kick of, you know, one goal or whatever. But that gives everyone a bit of hope that if they have got to go to Toronto and win, that it has been done. It's not impossible. You know, I think that gives everyone a little bit of belief. And the fact that Toronto had home advantage last year and didn't go up probably sort of calms the hysteria around, oh, why are Toronto getting home advantage? Because if this was the first time they would have had home advantage, I think everyone would be getting a little bit up in arms, since they just want Toronto to get promoted. You know what I mean? But you know, history's proven that they've wobbled, so everyone else will be looking at what Toronto and Toulouse do, and they'll be feeling they've got a chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down with that. Very astute as always, Aaron. Okay, Elliot. Your 30-second discussion, I think you want to tell us about who was the worst roommate on on your trip to Toulouse. No, go for it. 3, 2, 1.
I want to say how good of a weekend we had. From a full club point of view, a especially the fans, like I said, there were over 500 fans who paid good money to go out there, and there were a lot of them we saw after the game. We all went for a few pints, and we were speaking to.
Did you buy a drink? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I know you would have had a few drinks bought for you, but did you?
Yeah, not
you
many though.
But disappointed.
Anyway, but they're all saying how much of a good weekend it was, and it really was. I think Toulouse, it's a good stadium there, and I think they're moving to the Rugby Union Ground for next year, so that'll be even better. But yeah, great, massive support from the Bradford fans, and yeah, just thought I'd say thank you because really appreciate it.
I know some people who got a bus to Bristol Airport just to fly to Toulouse.
Yeah, well, Ethan Ryan's mum and dad and his girlfriend flew from Stansted.
That is commitment.
They drove down to Stansted and to
cheaper
come out. And
yeah, it is. Yeah, but yeah, like, but got a bus to Bristol.
I spoke to some fans actually. They drove from Bradford all the way to Toulouse.
Never.
Yeah, I spoke to some fans who met my dad's in the bar after. And they drove, there were two blokes, and they drove from Bradford, and they went on the ferry and drove through France and got there, and then they drove back.
Oh, man, that's a long drive.
So, fair play to them.
That's a long drive.
But commitment, eh?
Oh, man. I annually, I go out to Belgium with a group of guys for beer festivals and stuff like that, and that's a long drive. Now, you add another 18 hours onto that, that's what that is.
Yeah, fair play to them.
Yeah, I take my hat off to it. But I got to admit, that's one of the telltale signs of what Bradford Bulls brought to all the competitions, really, that they've ever been in, that they come with this travelling army, and they're brilliant, and they pay money. You think about Toulouse, how happy they were to get an extra, an extra 450 fans this week, paying fans going through their coffers. Yeah, you know, it makes a difference. Absolutely makes a difference. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about all the hottest topics that you, the supporters, are talking about. If you want to get in touch on social media, please do, and we'll read it out live here on air. Thank you very much. Stick with us on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. Across West Yorkshire, online, DAB, 1278 and 1530 AM. This is Pulse 2.
Two more men have been charged with the murder of a 20-year-old in Bradford. Mohamed Fuzan Ayaz was killed in Ollerton last Monday. Farek Ejaz and Robert Wainwright have appeared at Bradford magistrates today. Plans to build a new link road near a busy Bradford junction have officially been submitted. Work at the intersection of Great Horton Road and Horton Grange Road is expected to cost £4 million. Earlier this year, it was identified as being one of the worst in the city. And Ryland Clark-Neal is to be the host of a rebooted version of Supermarket Sweep. The game show is coming back to our screens on ITV2. The channel says there will be an injection of cheekiness and downright silliness.
Pulse 2 Sport.
Dominic Young has been called up to the Huddersfield Giants squad for Friday's game against Catalan Dragons. Adam O'Brien drops out this week after suffering an injury. Oliver Wilson and Tom Holmes, who were debutants last week, retain their places. New Zealand are in the Cricket World Cup final. They beat India by 18 runs in their semi-final at Old Trafford today. Here's New Zealand captain and former Yorkshire batsman Kane Williamson.
A lot of heart shown by the guys throughout this whole campaign today. Feet on the ground because we've got a game coming up. But a really tough match, a great semi-final over 2 days for the crowd. But like I say, very pleased to be on the right side of
the
it.
The Black Caps will play either England or Australia, who meet tomorrow in Sunday's final at Lord's. And the star pairing of Andy Murray and Serena Williams are out of the mixed doubles at Wimbledon. They were beaten this afternoon by Bruno Suarez and Nicole Melica. For details on all those stories, go to pulse2.co.uk. That's the latest. I'm James Crossling.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the Pulse 2 studios with just Elliot Minchella. Because Aaron Bowles done one on us, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's bucked out it, yeah.
He basically didn't tell us at all. He just got up and left. He's not even said anything. He just got up, picked up the microphone, dropped it and walked out. No, he's double booked himself. He's a busy man, as our Aaron, and I thank Aaron always for coming on, giving us his insight. He's a journalist, for those of you that are listening for the first time, but he has a wealth of knowledge and contacts within the sport and understands the business of what we're doing as well. A hack, as they call them. Mm. I think they like being called a hack. So let's talk about this segment of the show is all about you guys. So I've been talking to a number of supporters this week, and so many, and there was a couple of lead supporters that I was talking to, and obviously the big talking point is whether or not, well, who's going to be the ongoing coach? And Richard Agar has been manhandling the steering wheel, I guess. What's it now, 5-6 weeks?
Yeah,
nearly that long. As it was shorter than that, it seems like a longish time, and things seem to be turned. They seem to be changed. Well, actually, his first game in charge was a cup game.
Yeah.
So what was that, about 7 weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long that was.
That was a while ago.
A while ago. Yeah.
So anyway, they seem to be turning up better. Mm. They seem to be playing for each other more. And let's be honest, they've won their last two games. Yep. I actually watched their game against Wigan, which was 3 weeks ago. So they had they played Castleford on the weekend with a win, beat Catalans a week before also, and then the week before that they played Wigan. I've actually covered all three of those games. I've been watching a lot of Leeds lately for the Man of Steel selection.
Yep.
And so I've seen actually a real growth. But when they played Wigan 3 weeks ago, I thought they outplayed Wigan. What they didn't have was any finishing touches.
Mm.
Fast forward a week to the Catalans game. Oh, that was an ordinary game. I got to admit, it was ugly. It was actually two teams playing bad, but Leeds playing a little bit better than Catalans, as bad as Catalans were. But this weekend, I thought they played actually really quite well. I think they dominated Castleford for the majority of the game, and there's some interplay that I've not seen Leeds have all season long. A lot of interplay with Robert Louis. He's made a big difference on Friday. He was busy. He took a lot of weight off Richie Myler's shoulders, and you could see Richie actually starting to grow. No interplay between those two yet. So that's got to be worked on. But some interplay with the forwards. So Dwyer, I thought he played really well, jumping out, acting half, interplay with Adam Cuthbertson, Trent Merrin as well. A couple of really nice touches between Cuthbertson and Merrin. That created actually two tries on the back of it with good build-up play. Stuff. I mean, I think come the final hooter of that game, because you wouldn't have seen it, would you?
No,
were in Toulouse. Yeah. Come the final hooter, but you'll know what I mean when I say this, because you probably experienced it a few weeks ago when you finally broke that losing run that you guys were on. That when the hooter went and they won the game, they kind of all come together in their eyes and their body language. It was kind of like, see, I told you so. They're all saying it to each other. I told you we were better than that.
Yeah.
You know, that's proof that we're better. We're a better team than that. So what do you think, Elliot? Do you think Richard Agar, do you think the Leeds Rhinos should take a punt and give him the job? I think he's playing it smart, by the way, but what are your thoughts on it?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because it could work two ways. You give him the job, and that's a bit of stability then for the playing squad. They'll know that he's there for the next, 18 months sort of thing, if they give him for next year. And that could settle a few people down. But then the other argument is say, well, they've only won two games. Yeah, they're good wins. But is that a bit early to be giving that job? Maybe see how the rest of the season goes and reassess come September, October, and see how they've gone on. But I think Richard Agar's doing a good job. They've obviously recruited a few players in the recent weeks as well. I think that's made a massive difference. Louis, they've brought in Sean Lunt, haven't they?
Yeah. New guy, was it Martin?
Yeah,
who played on the weekend.
The Bulldogs in the
and
NRL.
And there's...
What's
in the... I was practising his
the
name.
The big front rower.
Yeah.
Well, he played against us at Oddsall. I think that was his first game, but it looks like he's settled in now.
Yep.
Merrin's playing really well in here for him up the middle. So,
well, Merrin's probably been their standout player, hasn't he, all season long? And that's one of the things that I think is a bit of validation. Now, let's say you're the best team player in the team, which I think Merrin has been their most consistent player, probably alongside Dwyer. Those two guys have been the two threats their leads have had, and they've not laid down throughout the whole season. They've constantly had the foot down. But Merrin came out and said, "I think Richard Agar should get the job."
Yeah,
isn't that a strong validation?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what if that's the voice from the players, then that if they give him the job, that'll maybe just bring everyone even closer together and think, right, Richard's with us for the rest of you know, 2 years sort of thing, and we're going to get out of this hole. That, you know, climbing out of the hole, aren't they? But yeah, it pulls everyone together, doesn't it? And, it, you know, they're in it together then.
So just to give us some perspective now, the team sitting in fifth position at the moment is Catalans, and we all know with Catalans, anything can happen. They could be brilliant or they can be absolutely horrible. Like on the weekend, they were brilliant.
Yeah.
The weekend before against these Rhinos, they were horrible. But they're on 22 points, so six. That's only three wins away. Mm. To put some context to it, though, Leeds and Huddersfield Giants are both on 16 points. Salford and Wakefield, who both teams are struggling, both have big injuries. Salford, spine of their team's really struggling without Robert Louis now.
Yeah.
So they're on only 18 points. Castleford Tigers are on 20 points. I think Cass will sneak in. I think they've got players and bodies coming back. I think they'll be all right. It's the teams above them. Catalans on 22 points. We don't know what will happen. I think Wigan look like they're turning the corner. Warrington will be solid. St. Helens solid. But Hull FC, another one. If they, there's the argument to say that if they do well in the Challenge Cup, all their energies will focus on that.
Yeah, that sometimes happens, doesn't it? Get a bit distracted. But looking at the table, I think Castleford will have enough. I think Salford, you know, Jackson Hastings, I think he'll get them over the line. I think that I don't think they'll be looking over the shoulder too much. Wakefield, you know, they've got Danny Brough, haven't they? You know, he makes a big difference, a big Fafita. But I think it's that bottom form. It's really tight. There's only 2 points between four teams. Leeds, Huddersfield, Hull KR,
yeah,
and London.
Yeah, but there's only 4 points between six
teams.
Yeah,
but I just think, I don't know. Well, it's a big game. Is it Thursday night this week? Or Friday night. Leeds against Hull KR. That's big. That's massive, isn't it?
Well, it's that big that they won't be playing the local derby between St. Helens and Wigan.
Is that the first
and
time
both teams
ever?
Are in form.
I saw it's the first
time. It's
the first time
in Super League's history.
Yeah, it's madness.
The first time. They've always shown that, and they're going for the two teams in that relegation battle.
Tony Smith going back to Edinburgh as well, coaches of Hull KR.
A little bit extra spice, that's a bit nice.
Danny Maguire as well. So,
well, actually, before we move on from this, one of the things in this final segment, again, State of Origin this morning, final match, it went to the decider. I've seen on a lot of social media about people calling for their county of origin once again. Yep. Well, your thoughts on that? Would you like to see a county of origin? And if so, how do we make it work that it actually becomes as competitive as that? If you look at cricket, the 2020 matches between Lancashire and Yorkshire are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they're
absolutely
outstanding,
brilliant.
I think it could be possible if everyone bought in, and I think whether that'll happen, I'm not so sure. I like the idea of it. And I think it would be great to watch, and maybe get Cumbria involved and have a three-way series sort of thing, Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cumbria maybe. But yeah, I think it could work, and you know, they've done it in the past, haven't they? A lot of years ago, like, but it could work. I just think whether they'd invest the time and energy and money, this sort of thing, and
to market it.
Yeah, and I think also that whether adding extra games for the playing side, I think you'd have to reduce some, you know, some fixtures in the Super League, I think, to make that doable. But yeah, I think it's something that maybe gets discussed.
All right. So that's... I'm for it. I'm a big fan of it, to be honest. Yeah. I like the idea of... Because I remember when they did launch it back in... what was it now? I think it was the 2000s.
Yeah.
I think they did it for about 2 or 3 years. And one of the games we played at Oddsall. I remember going down and watching, really
enjoying it. Why did they stop?
There weren't enough supporters.
Right.
So they just weren't able to sell the concept.
Well, that's
enough.
The problem they'd have, wouldn't they? It's whether they'd...
Make it financially viable.
Yeah.
And I think a few of the clubs weren't too happy about it because of injuries and stuff like that. But that's part of... If we don't make it competitive... Look, the Australian international team has got so good because they've had this amazing... representative rugby game in the middle of the season where they come together and they compete with one another. If England's going to consistently compete with the New Zealands, the Australians of this, then we've got to have a domestic competition of that next level.
Yeah.
Something that players can also work towards.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that makes it fruitful and it's financially viable as well. So I think some concerted effort needs to be given to it.
Yep.
Definitely. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your input also, ladies and gentlemen at home. We're going to go to a break now, but before we do that, let's have a final look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With Living Well, helping you to live a healthier, more active life in the Bradford District. See mylivingwell.co.uk.
We're right in Shipley, queuing traffic on the A650, Bingley Road at Saltaire Road. And Cottingley, Bradford Road is still blocked in both directions due to that accident involving a car and a bus at Beckford School, affecting Cottingley New Road to Leonard Street in Bingley. An air ambulance is on the scene, so please avoid that if possible. And on the M62, heavy traffic westbound at Junction 27. All the latest, just check out pulse2.co.uk.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Jess Elliot Minchella. Well, actually, should we say just not just.
Yeah, just.
The only.
Thank you.
The one and only Elliot Minchella. I did that all wrong, didn't I? This is the final segment of the show. In a second, we'll be looking at the upcoming games. It's a great opportunity to segue into the first segment of the upcoming games, because this weekend's round dedicated to Tackle the Tough Stuff campaign, mental health and well-being. It started back in, I think it was 2010, I think sadly, when Terry Newton, former Bradford Bulls player, Wigan player, Leeds Rhinos player, sadly took his life. State of mind was created out of that unfortunate circumstance, so a little bit of good that come out of something that was tragically bad. From State of Mind, Rugby League Cares have embraced and worked with State of Mind. They've created the offload program. The sport of rugby league has really embraced sort of opening up from a professional athlete's point of view, but with the offload program that they've sort of flowed out into the rugby league communities also. So a big part of the campaign, because obviously mental health and well-being affects most people in society. I don't think anyone's going to go through life, especially in modern life, without being affected in one way, shape or form. And a big reason for that is probably social media and the impact of what we're having, and so much information, whether positive or negative. Just how that's rewiring our brains and causing us stress and anxiety from living in the future or worrying about things that have happened in the past. But one of the big emphasis that they're putting on it is to do in and around male suicide. I think the statistics go, it's the biggest killer of men under the age of 50 globally. A man dies every hour. So if you think about that across just the scope of a year, the impact that that's having, and for a lot of reasons, it's probably to do with culturally, men have always been told to suck it up, or this thing we call man up, and just pull the emotions inside, not share them, not unload them, not offload them, so to speak. See what I did there? And try and deal with them on their own without being given the schools. Because you'll agree with me, Elliot, none of us went to school and were taught a lesson on being mindful being present or your mental health and well-being. We did physical education, didn't we?
Yeah.
But we didn't do anything like
mentally,
that. So how we, basically it's a way of exposing to trying to use what Elliot and the rest of his competition and the Super League players are. We perceive these guys as being hyper-masculine, and it's in an environment that is very, very masculine. You are. I do believe that you should. It's not good to show weakness on the field of play.
Yeah.
On the field, because that's obviously opposition will capitalize on that.
Yeah.
On the field, on the 80 minutes in the game, it's not good to show weakness. But outside of that, I think there's room to be able to be a little bit more vulnerable. So, and I've got a good reason for it. My reason for it is, and it comes from Les Brown's quote, "I ask for help not because I'm weak. I ask for help because I want to remain strong."
Mm-hmm.
And that, I love that approach. You know, when you go to see the physiotherapist, it's to get you back to being at your best, being the best version of Elliot Minchella. If you the foods that you eat, you'll eat the best foods. Why? To be the best version of Elliot Minchella. You'll do the best training techniques. Why? To be the best version of Elliot Minchella. Well, what's the difference?
Yeah, he was right.
We got to find a way, don't we?
Yeah, I
think what are your thoughts?
It is becoming more acceptable and open for men to speak about the problems, and on the rugby league side of things, for those players, there is a lot more help and people like, you know, making themselves available to speak to you, and for you to go to them. So I know some of our lads, or lads who I've played with in the past, have used Sporting Chance. Yeah, it's like an anonymous. Anonymous organisation. It's set up by Tony Adams, I think, isn't it? The footballer.
I think he played a part. I'm not sure it was set up, but he was definitely one of the founders.
Yeah. And yeah, they're great. I know some people who, you know, go see a woman and a bit of counselling sort of thing and offload there. It's hard for people. You know, it's hard to talk to somebody who you know about your problems, I feel. I think it's easy to talk to someone who you've never met before or who wouldn't be involved in your day-to-day life.
Do you not think it's compounded to be even harder when you come from an environment and say that you've been taught not to share?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, you're right. Because what we get taught is, you know, when you're a kid in the academy, it's how tough you are and how, you know, don't show weakness. There's stuff like body language. You aren't allowed to put your hands on your hips because it showed weakness.
Or your hands on your head because you're showing you're tired.
Stand up tall and with your chest out and not show everyone how tough you are.
Which I get
and
that.
And that's right on the field, yeah.
I get that.
But then it kind of...
But that's the only time you've been taught something to do with weakness.
Yeah.
And so when you go out into the real world, those are the only tools that you've got.
Yeah, that's right.
So you learn to hold it in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And that's where it compounds, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of help, and I think it needs to get even more so. And I think that's just society, isn't it? Men in general, it's just not common for men to talk about their problems.
So how valuable is it for, like I said, rugby players are considered hyper-masculine. What you guys do on the field, the collision, the car crashes, the, God, what is it, 60 car crashes that you run through in every 80 minutes. How important is it, do you think? Well, how sticky does the message become when it's you guys actually saying it's okay?
Yeah, it's massive, and I think rugby league are doing great. I've seen loads of videos on social media this week about people speaking about their experiences of their mental health. And I think it's just great for people to speak about it, and then it becomes acceptable. You know, people watch these videos and think, you know what, if he can do that, if he can speak about his problems, so-and-so who plays for Wigan Warriors, well, I can do it, just the average person. And I think that's a great message that I like watching the videos myself. I watch...
they're inspiring.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, numerous players who talk about their problems so openly. And it's like the weight's being lifted off the shoulders. Yeah. And it really is the best thing to do is to talk about your problem, innit? You can't bottle anything up because you don't solve problems like that, do you?
So I did a mental first aid class. I've got a certificate as a mental first aider, and a lot of it is just about signposting, being able to signpost people, learning how to listen, being able to signpost people towards services and resources that will help people get through whatever problem that they are. Because there's a myriad of different mental fitness issues out there, and I after undertaking the class, I thought to myself, you know what? I wish every rugby league player did this. I wish it became a part of the curriculum. You know how I think when you guys are juniors, you have to do a referees course or a level one coaching course.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a 2-day course. It was delivered by Johnny Lawless, former Challenge Cup winner, great rugby league player, and another just a local amateur rugby league player. They're speaking to a room full of rugby people, and it was Dennis Betts on the course, as Paul Sculthorpe. Gosh, who else was there? Nathan McAvoy was there as well. And then there was other coaches, guys from, what do you call it, from the foundation, different foundations were there also. So it was a room full of rugby league people being taught by rugby league people mental health and well-being and mental fitness first aid. Brilliant. I wish everyone could do it. And really, I just got to say, I'm really proud of rugby league. We're the one sport that have really grasped the concept of helping their communities. And you know, it's important because our communities, the working class communities, which our sport is born out of, struggle with mental fitness the most. And the statistics, 100 more people pass away from the rugby league than above the national average. So that means that we need to make a difference. So on that note, these upcoming games, let's just look at a couple of them. Huddersfield Giants and Catalans Dragons. Huddersfield at home to Catalans.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because Catalan big win, but I'm going to say Huddersfield just because they're at home.
Leeds at home to Hull KR.
Hull KR.
And Wigan Saints.
Saints.
I'm going to go. I'm going Huddersfield at home. I think they're good. I'm not convinced with Catalans yet. Leeds Rhinos, I think they're on good form. And I'm going to go Wigan. Saints need to lose. All right, that's up from me and Elliot this evening. Thanks to Aaron also. Thanks for you guys listening wherever you are tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.